A reading from Colossians 3, verses 1 to 17, about being made alive in Christ. Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your minds on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your hearts on things above and not on things below. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to follow these ways, or walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive language from your lips. Don't lie to each other, for you have taken off the old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with one another and forgive each other if anyone has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, with psalms, hymns, songs of the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou katoa. Ko te mihi tuatahi ki te atua. Nā nā ngā mea katoa e hanga. Ko te mihi tuarua ki te kai karakia e Michelle. Tēnā koe. Tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou katoa. My name is Caleb. If I haven't met you before, I'm with my wife Billy, who's here with the black and white cardigan. We're the co-vicars of the Anglican parish of Whanganui, and we have the privilege of leading this church here, and have been doing for 4.5 years, and love doing that. It's full, and it's joy-filled, and it's an absolute pleasure. So that's who I am. I just would love to hear what stood out from the passage today. People call out.
Christ, who is your life.
Who is your life. Yeah, that's so deep and true. Yeah, meditate on that for a long time. Yes. That we're dearly beloved. Yes, that's good, eh? That's so important. We're precious to him. Yeah. Yes, we're God's chosen people. Yeah. Isn't that so important for us to remember? That he wants us. He wants us. Yeah.
They're telling the truth and not lying.
They're telling the truth and not lying.
Yeah.
As in he's not telling.
No, as in that's a value that we should have.
Yes, that's right. Do not lie to one another. Yeah, that's right. Yes, absolutely. It actually severs your soul when you lie. Did you know that? It severs your soul. Because it makes you two people. One of this part, this version, and one of the truth. Does that make sense? It's actually really damaging. Clothed in his glory, yeah. I mean, that's part of the healing process that makes us all whole, that sozo word, which is so beautifully used in the Gospels, of being made whole. Yeah, clothed. Yes,
Louise. Binding everything together.
Yeah, yeah, binding everything together. Yeah, love doing that. Yeah. Jordy. Yes, isn't that cool? So often in this culture and day and age, we think of ruling as something that's oppressive, but we're told for something to rule, and it's peace. Don't you want that? You want peace to rule rather than whatever else is ruling your heart? Do you know what I mean? Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. And it's beautiful because he gives you an option. Let. Yeah, isn't that beautiful? We have had such fun journeying through this passage, haven't we? Can I see a show of hands of people who've given a good hash of memorizing? It doesn't mean you memorize the whole page. Loads of people. Wow, that's awesome. It's been so rich. It's been buzzing in my head. Heaps. I mean, I actually memorized it quite a long time ago. But it's just been, because we've been thinking about it and talking about it, and I've been recapping it, it's been flitting in my head loads. And that reshapes us. That keeps transforming our mind back into the way of Jesus. So even if you didn't finish it, keep going. Just because the sermon series finished today doesn't mean the Word of God finishes today, you know? So keep going with it. It is one of the great passages that gives us an insight of our life now in Jesus. Okay, so do memorize that. Keep meditating on that. What I want you to do is I want you to think back over our last sermon series, these 10 weeks that we've been doing this, and I want you to think about what stood out for you. What has resonated in you over the last 10 weeks? It might be something that you thought up in your devotions or when you're memorizing it, or something you heard from a sermon, or something that stood out for you this morning, or whatever it is. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say something that stood out in this sermon series in the last 10 weeks. What stood out to you? Okay, can we call those out again? Anything left out for someone in the last term through this series? Setting on setting your minds on things above. Who remembers that image that Billy had of the jelly? Yeah? Yeah, it's so good, hey? You know, just like, no, fix it on. Yeah, yeah.
Paul's absolute commitment and determination is love for Colossians.
Yeah.
Just can't stop talking.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, you can hear his energy behind it, can't you? And all of these things. And he doesn't sell them short, does he? He doesn't say, hey, it'd be nice if you were kind to each other occasionally. He says, you know, rid yourself of anything that is ungodly, you know, and fill yourself with these. Yes, thanks, John. Anyone else?
Simplicity of instruction.
Simplicity of instruction. Oh, that's good, eh?
Not
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so important that it's simply, I mean, it's simply, this is the way to live. Yeah. Yes, Stan.
And that you can have new thoughts and new thought patterns by dwelling.
Yes.
On these things, creating healthy.
Yes. It's like transformation is possible, eh? If this passage is telling us that you're not stuck living the way you've always lived, and neither is anyone else that you care for or love, they're not stuck. God's grace is enough to transform us. And there's new thought patterns and new ways that we can live that can be reshaped. Yes. Other things. I love the key in forgiveness that Tabea had. Do you remember that? She talked about that forgiveness is like it's not the gig. It's not like, you know, that's not what we're aiming for. We're not aiming for I'm in the forgiven life. It's, but the fullness of life that's there, you have to use forgiveness to get into it. Does that make sense? If you don't forgive, what happens is you're stuck on the other side. You don't, you know, it's as simple as that. But then, of course, forgiveness is not as simple as that. But, yeah, do you know what I mean? You know, that really stood out for me. Yeah. I also loved that image that Sarah Harris had of dwelling in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Margaret's nodding her head. Do you remember that? Having the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit all around and being in that community of the Trinity of love. I loved that image. That really has stuck with me. Other things? Yes, Diane.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
It tells us who Christ is, who we are in him.
Yes.
And how
Yeah, that's so true. Who Christ is and who we are in him, and therefore how we live according to that. Does that make sense? That's so beautifully summarized. That's who he is. This is now who we are. Since you have been raised with Christ. Yeah, this is it. This is your identity now. So now, live according to it. Does that make sense? For you have died. Your life is hidden with Christ on high. Yeah? So therefore, set your minds, or so therefore, clothe yourselves with, or so therefore, rid yourselves of all the habits that you used to live in your old life. Does that make sense? Keep digging into this passage, folks. It will do you for the rest of your life, okay? And I'm meaning the life that keeps going on for billions of years, okay? I'm serious. The life that you're going to get into the fullness of seeing him is what it looks like, okay? The fullness of that beauty. Okay, so there's loads of great things. We've had, it started way back at the beginning of the term, and we looked at that we have these desires and agendas that we have that cause us to look this way or cause us to look that way. Does that make sense? And I talked briefly, I don't know if you remember, I talked about in the first sermon, sometimes in life we have an incident that causes us to change. Yes? I talked about sometimes it's cancer, or sometimes it's a divorce, or sometimes it's an accident of some form. And what happens is you wake up and you go, I'm going to live different. Yeah? What Alcoholics Anonymous call the pain of change has suddenly become less than the pain of staying the same. Are you with me? Yeah? Now, what I said at the beginning is, you don't have to wait for that. Okay? You don't have to wait for that. I had this image a couple of weeks ago when I was kind of thinking about this, and I was thinking about, I don't know if anybody else does this, maybe it's just me and my love for geography and maps, but I was thinking about the trajectory that the Whanganui River has around our city. Has anyone ever thought about that? And why the river goes the way that it goes? Has anyone thought about that? Why it bends around that way and why it comes around that way? I mean, there's all sorts of reasons. But basically, a river heads from its source, whether it's a spring or whether it's collected itself from rain or whether it's collected itself from all these other streams and everything. And its one aim is to get to the sea. Okay? That's its one aim. And it has that, and it's heading towards that. Right? And what happens is it comes around bends and it comes around this because basically the rock in front of it is harder and it's softer to go this direction. Does that make sense? And so it goes around that way and it goes around that way and it goes around that way. And that's why you get so many twists and turns. And the Whanganui River has loads of those because it's got all different types of formational rock. Now, I was just wondering if the river could kind of gather itself together in some way and the molecules could train itself in academic development and could train itself in the understanding of geology and also of mechanics and economics and also of, like, could perhaps get some technologically advanced molecules and they could get some drones and they could come up a little bit above the river. They could do some analysis of how they could get quicker to the sea. Are you with me? You know, what they could do, the molecules could figure out, hang on a sec, if we dig and test this bit of land here, oh, actually, this bit is soft. It's only a little bit of rock to get through. So if we just, the next flood, everybody aim this direction really well, we'll knock that bit through and we can shoot straight through to the sea that way. Does that make sense? Are you with me? Well, of course, that's crazy because water is just simply a bunch of molecules that doesn't have a mind. Yes? How interesting would it be if you were just like a river, that your end result was just because you were just heading there? Does that make sense? Rather than taking a look at your life and reanalyzing how you could live it better. Are you with me? Your life flow is heading in a certain direction. It's just heading the way it's going. Usually, like the gravitational pull towards the sea, you're just heading one way. Yeah? And you have pitfalls that you always fall in. And you can keep doing that. But Jesus comes and he says, I'm giving you the chance to get a drone on your life and pop up and see how you're living. I'm giving you the chance to get wisdom on how you can just deal with this little bit and then you've got breakthrough. Are you with me? Does that image make sense to you? It makes sense a lot in my head. It got me very excited when I thought about it. anyway, now I'm going to come back to that image in a moment. But what I want to, the final verse that we're looking at today in our sermon series is the one which says, put on love, yeah? Which binds all these things together in perfect harmony, yeah? And when we think of that, I don't know about you, but when we think of the word love, it's been really sanitized and changed by our culture, and it's kind of hallmarky and lovely and cuddly, and okay, the type of Christian life is soft and gentle, and do you know what I mean? And when I tell this joke, I'm not sure if I've told it in here, but I tell this joke at every wedding that I do, which is that we misunderstand what love is. I do not think that word means what we think it means, yeah? We say, I love chocolate cake. But you don't love chocolate cake, you want to eat chocolate cake. Are you with me? If you actually love chocolate cake, you'd go around every bakery in the world and you'd hoard them and you'd save them and you'd protect them from other people. You'd say, no, don't do that. You'd find a way to make them last longer. Do you know what I mean? You'd protect, you'd care for them. You'd sweet talk to them. You'd give them pet names. You'd be encouraging. You'd find ways that they could be the best chocolate cake they could possibly be. Are you with me? Because that's what love is, folks. It's not something you consume, yeah? It's utter self-sacrificial giving of yourself. It's willing the good of the other. That's the best, of what love is. It's willing the good of the other. They're good. What is the best thing for them? Now, that may not be what they want, yes? But it's willing their best. They're good. Does that make sense? Yeah? And what is the source of all love?
Okay.
Yeah, God. Yeah, yeah. He's the source of it all, okay? If you want to trace back where love comes from, it's God, okay? Any taste of it that you get actually comes back from him. And he never runs out, ever. It's an unlimited supply. Have you ever thought about that? There's never going to be a moment where it dries up. Yeah? Think about that for a second. Just think about that. Love is never going to dry up. Ever. Isn't that awesome? It's the most dependable thing in the universe. Did you know that? You can depend on it. Love is better than you think it is. Because it comes from God. The truest, best source of it. You can depend your life on it. It's so good. Okay, anyway, what I want to talk about is that it says here, over everything, put on this love, okay? And I have heard many sermons. I've even read books, and I've been to seminars and workshops on how to include love in your daily life. Okay, how to include God in your daily life, yes? So if I'm taking out the trash, how do I engage with love? Yes? If I'm, vacuuming, how do I engage with love? If I am traveling to work, how do I engage with God? Are you with me? And that's a good thing, okay? That is a good thing. It's a really good thing, actually. You know, how do I engage with love? How do I engage with God in all of my daily routine? Yes? Nod, head nods? That is a good thing, okay? But you can tell I'm going to tell you that it's not good enough, eh? Yeah? It's not good enough. All right? And I can't tell you how many workshops I've been to that have taught me about how to include God in my day-to-day life. But it's not good enough. I'll tell you why. Because that's not what this passage is saying at all. Did you notice it says, over all of these virtues, put on love? Does that make sense? This is towards the end of our Colossians 3 passage. Well, we've already talked about organizing our life around Jesus. You can add in Jesus and love into your daily life, into your habit of gambling, into your habit of bitterness, into your anger and your frustration, and that will have an effect. His goodness will start to have an effect. But what we've been looking at in this whole series is that you need to reorientate all of your allegiances, all of them. Your desires. Do you remember we talked about your desires, the things that run your system? Well, you can just put God on top of that like a plaster. That's a lovely plaster. It's the best one you can have. Or you can get rid of your desires and then flood them with love. Are you with me? Does that make sense? Let's not just add God into our life. Let's reorganize our entire life around Jesus. Yes, our entire life. When you look at what you do day to day, when you look at what you do in your rhythms of life, are they what God wants you to do? Are they what God wants you to do?
Are you doing them the way that God wants you to do them? I want you to think about that, so much so that I've actually got a little diary here for you. Okay? I'm serious. Take one, pass them on. I've got a little day, a week planner and a month planner. And what I want you to do is I want you to write down in here what you do during your week. Okay? And if a week's, you know, too variable, then I want you to do the same on your month. Okay? I want you to write down what it is you do on Mondays. Please, you'll notice there's a dotted line. If we can chuck out some pens as well, that'd be great. I want you to write on the left-hand side of the dotted line, okay? What you normally do in your week or your month. You're all sorted.
I have 700.
I want you to do this, and because I want you to see what your normal pattern of life is, what fills your normal day, etc. Anyone want to see the pen, pencil?
Just gone
into school holiday. Don't do this. Don't do this week then. You know, what is your normal week? Hands up if you need a pen or a pencil. And if your week varies a lot, like you've got a, like you're in shift work and it varies, you know, what day it's on, just go, well, normally it's 3 days or 4 days or 5 days of your week. Yeah? Just choose five of them, if that makes sense. Yeah? Need a pen? Anyone needs a pen? I want you to write it out because I want you to see what normally fills your week, okay? What is it that you spend most of your time doing? I want you to put in there when you're at work. I want you to put in there if you spend a long time having breakfast every morning because you like to read the newspaper or you like to read the news on your phone, then put that in there, that you spend a couple hours doing that. If you like to go out for coffee, put that in there. If you spend a good chunk of time watching television, I want you to put that on there, okay? If you spend time talking to a family member every night for half an hour, put that in there. Do you need a pencil? Anyone need a pencil?
I'm thinking.
You're thinking. That's a good thing to do. So just on the left-hand side of the dots, don't do the right-hand side of the dots, just the left-hand side. If you find it possible to do it on the week one, do it on the week one. If it's easier on the month one, do it on the month one. Obviously, we're not going to get to the real nitty-gritty detail here. This is just a little exercise, just to get you to see what is your normal routines. Okay, I'm just going to have to hold you there, okay? When we're talking about reorganizing our lives around Jesus, okay, and inviting God to have say over every part of our lives, you need to have a look at what it is that normally fills your life and what your rhythms are. Okay, I've done this quite a number of times in my life where I've gone, I need more of Jesus in some way. Okay, I'm at one of those moments now. Billy and I had a two-hour conversation on Saturday morning around some of the things that we're doing at the moment which are taking us away from the flourishing of life in Jesus. And how do we let go of those things so that we can spend more time in the flourishing life of Jesus? Does that make sense? Yeah? So you have to look at your day-to-day plan and go, what in there is glorifying God? What in there is actually distracting me? What in there is what I'm called to do? And what in there is not what I'm called to do? Does that make sense? You need to have a look at that level. The quote that I was reading when I was thinking about this was, again, it's Dallas Willard. Dallas Willard was saying, he said, when you think about inviting God into your everyday life, you have to first ask the question, what is everyday life? Yeah? Isn't that an important question? And he says this. Say, everyday life is your opportunity to participate in the cosmic drama with God in the creation of the best universe possible. Let me say it again. It's your life is your opportunity to participate in the cosmic drama with God to make the best universe possible. It's awesome. It's your paintbrush on the canvas of history. You get to have it make a difference. You get to shape how your life is or other people's life. If you've got people who are near you, you get to shape their life. If you want to participate with God, you can make a difference way beyond yourself. It's not just about you and whether you get tired. Yeah? It's not just about you and whether you get, I mean, if you want to live your life about whether you get your mortgage paid off in time, sure, go ahead with that. But that's nothing compared to the beautiful thing that God invites you to participate with Him. And not just the redemption of the world, but the flourishing of the entire universe. He says, Graham, come and join me in that activity. Yeah, Jessica, I've got a paintbrush that's just got your name on it. Only you can paint with that. And here's a bunch of colors, some of which you've never dipped your paintbrush in before. Do you know what I mean? You can do that. Your everyday life is not restricted by what you currently do. Otherwise, you're acting like that river. Yeah? And you're just flowing in that direction. But you get a chance right now and over this next week to sit down with this diary and go, okay, God, I actually spend a lot of time working. I'm not sure I want to do that. Because my job is not fulfilling for me or making a difference in the universe. Do you know what I mean? That's the level this has to come to. I'm spending my time because I feel like I need to pay off my mortgage. Do you know what I mean? Get a smaller house. I'm serious. Yeah. I'm spending a long time because my dad said something over me 45 years ago, and so I'm spending my time doing this because that's calling the shots. He was disappointed when I came home with my school results. Do you know what I mean? And now I'm desperately trying to impress him. Do you want to live like that? Or do you want to be like the drone and pop up and go, actually, I don't want to do that anymore. I'm going to forgive my dad. I'm going to let go of these burdens. I'm going to step out of this right now, and I'm going to step into the fullness of life that God offers me. Now, you still have the responsibilities, okay? You can't go, oh, I'm spending a lot of time with my kids and it's exhausting me. No, okay? You love you. God's like, that is the call, okay? That's the call right there in front of you. He may even give you a call to have more kids than you've got. I'm not just talking biologically. There are a lot of kids in this world that don't have good parents or any parents. Yeah? Their parents are the state. Yeah? Maybe that's your call. Maybe it's your call because actually you're frustrated here because actually God is calling you to Cambodia to set people free from sex trafficking. I'm serious. This is the state that you go to. Is this God? And you do this with God. God, are you inviting me to spend this time right now? Am I investing in what you're calling me to? Yeah? Is there something else that's better and more beautiful? How I can participate in the cosmic drama of with you creating the best universe possible? How can I do that? At every level. And then, once you've done that, Mahi, when you've set your mind on things that are above, when you've rid yourself of all things that are ungodly, when you've done the forgiveness piece, when you've stepped into that fullness of that new community of Jew and Gentile, you've clothed yourself with all the compassion and the kindness and goodness, and you flood it all with Jesus. Yes? Wouldn't that be amazing? Yes? Can you imagine if we all did that? If we all sacrificially went, okay, I'm going to give up this, and I'm going to choose this. I'm going to give up that, and I'm going to choose this. You know? I've been holding on to this asset because I'm just worried about something. Bring it to first rung. Help someone break the cycle of poverty. Do you know what I mean? Is that the paintbrush? That's the paintbrush. Yeah? That's the color you might not have dipped into before. And living in abundance and not scarcity. In God's goodness and not fear. Are you with me? I'm throwing out a lot of stuff, but I'm hoping it's sticking. I have three things about inviting God's love into your life. But I wanted to teach all of this stuff first, because if I just taught these three things, then what you would do is you would just add them onto your life. Okay? Now, you can do that. You can do that. We're all at our stages that we're in. I just shared with you that I spent 2 hours yesterday discovering that a lot of my time is not what God has called us to right now, okay? We've got to figure that out, right? So, the three things that I want to talk about. The first one about inviting God, about allowing love to cover everything that we've got. The first thing is acknowledging. How do you spell ing? Is there an E? Thank you. That really doesn't look right, eh? It is right. Okay, acknowledging God all the time. Okay? So everything you do, you invite him to be here. Not actually, we'll come back to that inviting in a minute. Just acknowledging that he's here. Acknowledging his goodness. Connecting in and recognizing that. Okay? There's a guy called Frank Laubach. Anyone heard of him? He was a missionary in the 1930s in the Philippines. He was just a guy trying to run a church. And he kind of came up with this idea that he needed to encounter God as much as possible. In fact, he coined this phrase called game with minutes. Okay? And what this game was is that he recognized if he had an encounter with God for 1 second, it resonated in his body and his mind for about 1 minute. So he realized that all he had to do was turn his mind to God for 1 second every minute, and he'd never be out of God's presence. Isn't that awesome? You can read about it in a little book called Letters from a Modern Mystic, is what it's called. It's beautiful because it's his diary entries. And he gets so excited about this idea, and then the next diary entry is about 3 weeks later, and he goes, I completely forgot. Do you know what I mean? Isn't that so lovely? He's just so humble, and he's just like, and then the next one's like, I tried it, and it was really good, but I found it hard to keep going. Do you know what I mean? Really humble, like all of us, we would fail lots, okay? But then comes this diary entry, which he says that I've just experienced the most incredible 2 weeks that he'd ever experienced before. Everything felt like God was moving around him. He felt his mind be nudged towards God. He felt that there were things that he was suddenly like, oh, God felt it turned his mind, he had to do this next thing. He turned around, and God had already placed it there for him. There was just this deep connection he had with God, and it flowed right through him. Has anyone heard of the program, the literacy program called Each One Teach One? Okay, that's Frank Laubach. There are literally millions and millions and millions of people who are literate because he came up with this system about teaching someone to learn to read, and they would teach somebody else, and then they teach somebody else, and they teach somebody else, and they teach somebody else. You can read about it in his biographies about him. Absolutely incredible. He ended up being a consultant to something like 6 different presidents, just as an average Joe, because somehow everything he was engaged with was glorious. He just kept connecting him with God. Acknowledge God. So you find a way that you can do this. You might find it hard to acknowledge him every minute. So I have an alarm on my phone. It buzzes in my pocket. Okay? Yeah, I don't do it every minute. I do it every hour. That's my starting in this process, okay? Every hour, on the hour, my phone buzzes. In fact, a number of my friends and people in the office, when my phone buzzes, they'll say, is that someone calling or is it Jesus? Yeah? Because it's just because I want to be connecting in with him as often as possible. Right? Billy and I realized that we wanted to have a bigger rhythm of life of prayer than we were having. And we struggled to do that on our own, okay? You know, we had some really good routines of our morning devotions, but it wasn't quite good enough. It wasn't nourishing enough, and it was exhausting. When we were tired, it would be shorter, or we wouldn't be so concentrating. Do you know what I mean? We have an app that we listen to most mornings called Lectio 365, and I don't know, 1 in 8, I wake up and I realize it's finished. Do you know what I mean? Because I've slept through. So what we decided is that we would allow people to come and live in our house, and we've got a community of people. At the moment, there's 4 other adults. Previously, it's been quite a number more than that. And there's all sorts of reasons why we have them in our house. One is because we're discipling and we're shaping and we want to have our lives invaded and transformed. But because if we do prayers together, everyone is waiting for me at 7 o'clock in the morning. If I don't go to prayers, they all know. Do you know what I mean? And it gets me out of bed. It gets everyone out of bed, and we all pray together. And every night at 9 o'clock, we gather and we pray together. Why do we pray together? Because it's 9 o'clock. Okay? That means my life has now got those bookended with prayer. That means it's easier. When my phone buzzes in the hour, I'm just connecting into that connection I made, first of all, when I was praying with Billy, second of all, when I was praying on my own during my quiet time, third of all, when I was praying with the house. It just starts building. I start finding it easier to connect. Does that make sense? Acknowledging him all the time. The next one is thanksgiving. Having a heart of thanksgiving keeps reorientating yourself to the maker, not the thing that you've been given. Yes? Okay? Romans chapter 1, where it talks about the degradation of humanity. Yes? What happens is they started worshiping the creature and not the creator. We have to see everything around us that is good and give him the glory. Yeah? That is such an important thing about orientating your mind to the abundant and providing God. Okay, I'm just going to give the last one because the kids are back in. And as Craig said, I need to finish. So there's acknowledging God all the time. There's thanksgiving. And then the third thing is invocation. Okay? That's a big word for kind of like inviting, but with more power. It's saying, come, Holy Spirit. It's saying, God, be in this phone call I'm about to have. God, be in this email that I'm about to write. God, be in this moment as my family member is driving up the drive. Yeah? Be with me as I'm about to have this conversation with the person at Wins. Be in this conversation, Lord, as I'm about to have this meeting. Invite him into everything. If you are having difficulty with something, then invite Jesus into it. Yes? Billy and I do this regularly with our kids. We'll go in at nighttime and we'll pray over their beds. Yeah? And we just put our hands like above them. Hopefully they don't wake up because it's kind of freaky. But we just pray blessings over them. Our kids, quite regularly have night terrors. Yeah? And so we pray over that. So we go, and once we put them down, we'll wait till they've gone to sleep, and then we'll go back in, and then we'll pray. And we'll pray and we'll ask God to fill in the room. I pray in tongues over them. I pray the power of God over peace in their minds. I invocate it. Yes? Do the same. If you're struggling over an area of your life, invocate over that. God, I invite you into this. I want you to change this. In this decision I've got, would you be leading the way? Come, Holy Spirit, into this decision. Come, Holy Spirit, into my mind. Come, Holy Spirit, into this relationship. Yes? Does that sound good? Okay? So those three things. But if I just taught you them at the beginning of the sermon, you'd go, cool, I'll just add them into my life. Okay? Don't forget that the main point of this sermon is that you need to reorganize your life around Jesus. Yeah? Even the things that you do need to be submitted to the sovereignty of Jesus. Yes? Amen? You're very un-Pentecostal today. Amen?
Amen.
Thanks. In fact, more of an amen. That's even better. Thank you. Let me pray. Preach it, Pastor. Thank you, Geordie. Yeah, we're feeling very Anglican this morning. Jesus, thank you so, so much that your life that you have for us, Christ who is our life, we thank you that that life that you give us is so beautiful and powerful and awesome and so worth living. And Lord, we're sorry when we get caught up in our own desires and our routines and our rhythms and the things that we do that are not organizing our life around you. And would you help us, Lord? Would you help us to see what it would look like to change our life, to organize it instead around you? Bless us, I pray. Bless us that we would have you invade every part of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Two quick things. One is that the dotted line was so that you can write the alternative. Does that make sense? So you can go home and write down, okay, actually, instead of that, what would it look like if I put this as a priority or put this as a priority? Does that make sense? So that's what the dotted line is on your day or your month. And the second thing was that I wanted just to finish with is this was a really good sermon series. This was really good. And it is worth going back over and watching some of them again. Yeah? So you can do that on our YouTube page. You can do that via the app if you have our app. You can do that on our website. They're all accessible. If you don't have heaps of time, then reorganize your life around Jesus and do have time. That was supposed to be funny. If you don't have much time in this season for whatever reason, then you can watch the small group videos that go out each week because they're a little summary of the sermon. And so you can watch that. That's a kind of little 4 to 6 minute snippet of a 25-minute sermon. But keep digging over these because it's really important that we keep shaping our life around what God is calling us to. Next term, we jump into a new sermon series which basically builds on this one. And it's called, What Does It Look Like? What is the phrase? What does discipleship look like? So now we've all, now we've you know, talked about the fact that we need to organise life around him. What does it look like to actually follow him? What are the, what do those pieces look like? So we're going to be doing that next term. Really excited to jump into that. Adrian.